You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So to start us off, what do you believe are the three most pressing issues facing Auckland City?
It seems to be quite general with most of the mayoralty candidates that we are looking at transportation, we're looking at the water care, and I believe that the housing situation is quite dramatic. A lot of it is dictated to us by central government, which makes it difficult for the regional council of Auckland City to actually make some strong decision-making, but I think there are ways of getting around that.
What sorts of skills or experiences do you have that you believe makes you best positioned to address some of these issues?
Look, I've been involved in community events for a very long time and a lot of community projects that have helped out in designing and also organising leisure centres, and also I've been a member of communities with surf lifesaving and different aspects of it. But I've also owned four different businesses throughout my lifestyle, and they have lasted for anywhere from 10 to 15 years. Currently, the one I'm at the moment for entertainment has been going 18 years and still currently going. And I can bring a lot of difference and a bit of a different way of looking at things. Also, with the local board situation, the chairman of the board, in our area for the Hibiscus Coast and in the Bays, East Coast Bays area in Auckland, we've achieved 100% of our projects, which is most unheard of for Auckland Council. So I believe that my leadership has helped a lot with getting that done and getting the projects sorted. So I stand by that, and I'm very proud of that, the fact that I can actually get things done. And the way by doing that is with cooperation and collaboration with the different staff and the different areas in Auckland Council.
One of the very big, very obvious topics that is sort of being addressed by everyone this election season is transport. Key questions around efficiency and climate impact. How would you address transport concerns in Auckland?
Yeah, it's a very controversial subject, isn't it? I mean, it affects everybody. There's many aspects to this. With the transportation for buses, I believe that the fares should stay at a cheaper rate than what they have been. It's interesting when you run a business, you have to have a certain amount of revenue. Now, the transportation brings in approximately $1.3 billion a year for transportation for services and to keep things going. However, there is a certain amount, and you'd have to find, if you went free transport, you can't do that, because where are you going to find that $1.3 billion to replace it? That means you have to pay from somewhere else. Maybe the rates will go up. Maybe there'll be surcharges put on different aspects to actually get that money back. So you can't do that. But you can actually can discount it for students and for the 65. I think there are ways around it to make it for those people that are really struggling and don't have the income that is normal to actually get the transportation. I'm a strong believer in electrifying everything. I think it's a great plan that today is the last diesel trains to be running down in the south, and they're going to be replaced by electric, which is fantastic. But I also believe there's a lot of problem with congestions with trucks and emissions going into Auckland City. And what I believe is that rail should be used more for the ports and moving containers down to a different area, perhaps down by the airport, so the trucks can actually just go to there and then distribute from that area. So, and you can go by train, and they can be electrified. So there are ways of saving emissions and on that side of climate change.
One thing that people identify when it comes to free fares, or at least heavily subsidised fares, as we are currently seeing with the half price, is that once you have more people using public transport, it's easier to justify more infrastructure development. How would you convince people that we need the infrastructure without making it more accessible from the get-go?
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? I mean, with the idea is to get a higher turnover of passengers in the transportation. By having the cheaper fees, you are going to increase that. So therefore, your funding will increase from there, which can be then diverted into the areas that are required for transportation to make it more efficient. it's a bit of a chain reaction, really. So I think the emphasis of actually getting people onto that public transport is really important, and making it accessible. And as you say, the half fares or the free fares are one way of making people actually use the system, which then can be used for the infrastructure to make it better.
So you mentioned that you don't really support free fares for public transport, at least at the moment, because there isn't the funding. How would you incentivize people financially to use public transport? As you said, it is an important part of it. Or do you believe this is something that maybe should happen down the road, but not right now?
Yeah, look, the recovery of Auckland Council at the moment is quite important. You can't spend when you haven't got the money there to come in. So I think by actually doing it in stages, by having the cheaper fares, getting more people on the buses, then what will happen, the turnover will actually increase in the income, and then we can look at what infrastructure can be used to actually improve or even make the fares cheaper to a degree where it may become free after a while. I think it has to be slightly delayed, but it has to be a time frame set.
How do you see the role of cycling and cycling infrastructure in the sort of broader plan of Auckland Transport? Do you believe more investment is needed in that area, or it's currently okay?
It's a really interesting point, because some of the cycleways that are built at the moment are inefficient. There's a lot of injuries happening from the way they've designed the cycleways, and I think that better design work has to be done for a start. I believe in cycleways, but I think the artillery routes are more important for cycleways than some of the other areas. I think we need to concentrate on the main transportation routes that cycleways can be used. Like the Northwestern Motorway has got a great cycleway down the side of that motorway. So let's do it in the other areas as well to get people to and from if they need to go to places. But do it safely and do it in a way where it's separated away from the vehicles, because we don't want our kids and cyclists actually in with the traffic. We need to have it in a separate area. Perhaps some of the suburb areas, we could look at what we should be doing is looking at the footpaths and widen the footpaths to 2 to 3 metres wide and have a section in there for the motor mobility scooters and the bicycles, different from the pedestrians. That could be another way, and it'd be a lot more economical.
Another major topic that many are concerned about, as you mentioned before, is housing. What is your plan to address not only the high costs of housing and its, the lack of housing in Auckland, but also the difficulties with new developments?
Yeah, look, new developments, it's interesting because when you have new developments and you spread out, you've got a lot of problem with infrastructure. And by infrastructure, I mean you've got the power, you've got the roading, you've got the bus routes, you've got the water systems that have to go into a new development. So the money for that's going to come from somewhere. There's got to be a way of actually trying to find a balance that it's economical for the developers to actually build these places for houses, but also it's economical and people can actually, first home buyers can actually go into it, or people that want small studios, there's facilities that are built for them. Keeping the prices down is very difficult at the moment. I think that's a central government situation. They need to look at tariffs that they're charging on some of the material, and I think that they need to talk to some of the suppliers and get the prices down so the on costs aren't put onto the buyer but actually absorbed through the development.
One issue that's been sort of discussed around the council and local politics in Auckland is the idea of intensification and how that might impact special character areas in the city, as a lot of people want to live more in the central city and have more people in there, but then there's some opposition from people who don't want their sort of neighbourhoods changed. What would you say about the balance between these two things?
Yeah, that's a really good point. I've actually been to a few meetings. I went to the one at St. Matthews and also at Whangaparā, and we had a major problem with the intensification because our water system, our sewage system and our roading cannot handle any more massive intensification of housing. What we need to look at is we need to build in the areas that actually have those facilities available, and so when the intensification comes in, it can actually cope with the increase of population. So we have to look seriously at the suburbs, the town centres and the Auckland City itself as to where we can build and make sure that the infrastructure can handle what we're doing. So I think a lot of planning is required, and that's what I'll be looking at. I'll be looking at the areas that are important to people, I think there's 40,000 people living in the Auckland city at the moment, but there is facilities there that actually can be perhaps transformed. Maybe some of the businesses that no longer have their staff coming into the Auckland city to work are working remotely. Maybe those buildings can be renovated into the units that people want to live in town. And of course, then the amenities need to be built in the city as well, or the townships, to make sure they can walk everywhere or catch a bus or some kind of transport that are close by to where they live.
You mentioned some of these concerns brought up by, you know, people in neighbourhoods in the centre city about, you know, special character areas and, you know, heritage and that sort of thing. Do you believe that if intensification were to happen in Auckland Central, that would strongly impact special character areas? Or do you believe there's a way to work around that and have both people living in the centre and preserving the nature and character of these suburbs?
Yeah, definitely. I think you can find a compromise for this. I'm a strong believer in heritage. I'm a strong believer in because I think cities and towns are built on tradition. They're built on heritage and an understanding of where you're coming from. It's like being a family member. You know, you want to have some sense of belonging. And I think if you take some of the buildings away that are heritage buildings, or they have some character to them, I think you're taking away a slice of that heritage or that sense of belonging. So I'm a very strong believer in actually maintaining those heritage areas, and also finding a way of making the intensification not affect that to a degree, but also gives the opportunity for people to live around those surroundings.
You mentioned earlier certain plans that could be made for the centre city and sort of revitalising the centre, which, you know, has a lot of empty businesses and it's not as sort of vibrant as many people believe it once was. What is your plan to get people, businesses and confidence back into the centre city sort of post-COVID?
Yeah, look, when you want to boost up a city, my profession has been event managing and entertainment. So I guess I have a first-hand experience of what can be done to bring people into the city. But also the businesses have to try and find some way of surviving as well. I believe that if you are going to stop vehicles or families or whatever coming into the city and they have to take a bus or some kind of alternative transportation, you're going to kill the city. You're going to find that people want to be able to get in their park, enjoy the city, and then move out back to their suburbs or wherever they are. So I think to be vibrant in the city, you've got to have events that actually attract people in. You've got to have facilities that attract people, and they've got to feel safe. I believe that people do not feel safe at the moment, and I think that's one of the reasons why maybe the city isn't thriving as much as it should do. So my plan would be to ensure that the city is safe and hold events accordingly to bring people and families in for everyone to thrive.
In regards to the matter of safety, but also businesses, sort of related to both, a lot of people talk about pedestrianising certain streets in the centre city, whereas you mentioned that you need to have that sort of option for private transport or you're going to kill the businesses. What kind of balance do you see in terms of having more foot traffic and more people entering shops and more people with eyes on the street versus having more accessibility for private transport?
Yeah, I think it comes down to parking situation, doesn't it? It comes down to if you've got no parking for people to come in, they won't come in. I think that you've got to find that balance that you want people to be to thrive, you want the city to stay alive, well, then find the parking facilities for them. It may not necessarily have to be close to the city. It could be a little bit way out, and then you have a shuttle service that might bring you in. There are different options you can use. There's also the ferry services that need to be done on a more regular basis from the shore and from the different areas and even over in Howick. There's jetties out that way. Maybe bring a more regular basis into give the alternative of bringing people into the city.
So you mentioned earlier that you think it would sort of kill cities to need people to come in on public transport. You also mentioned the idea of sort of parking a bit further out and then a shuttle to bring you into the city. How would these two things compare? The idea of, you know, having a bus just taking a family to the city or whatever, or, you know, parking further out and then taking a shuttle. What are the sort of key differences here?
I think the key difference is it gives people independence to do. If something, look, when you take, like, I've got five kids, And when they were growing up younger, when you take a family in, you don't know what's going to happen. Honestly, anything can happen with a child or something like that. But if you've taken a bus and you are very limited to where you can go and what can you do. But if you have your vehicle, then you can actually then determine where you want to go to next, or else if you have an emergency, you can go, or one of your kids aren't well, or you need to go, or something changes, you've got your vehicle available to be able to go where you need to go. It might be different if you're a couple or you're a single person or whatever, and you are pretty much on your own looking at what you want to do. So you can take those options of the buses or whatever is required. But you've got to find that balance between looking after your family situation, which is what we seem to be trying to do on a more regular basis, or as opposed to the business person or coming to work or the single person coming for enjoyment into the city.
When it comes to the availability and amount of parking in the centre, do you believe more is needed, or do you think that it would simply be a mistake to kind of make plans to get rid of parking? Do you have any sort of solution in terms of allowing more people to get in?
Yeah, look, I think that there are plans, or I understand there are some plans for some of the parking to be taken away, which I think is ridiculous. I think that parking is one of the most important things for people. If you don't have parking, they're not going to come, are they? So I think, yes, you've got to find solutions, maybe some more car parks that can be obviously privately owned, and so long as they don't charge the earth for you to have it, have a car park there. I think a lot of deters a lot of people, of course, of bringing a car in, is if you've all got your daily parking fees, which can be quite high and can actually take a lot of bit out of your wages per se. So I think that you've got to find the benefits of taking a bus where you don't have a parking fees, but you've also got to allow for those people that work with a vehicle and families that have vehicles and find parking for them. I think once again, it comes down to design of the city and future planning.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.